Okay, hi friends, and welcome to our pre-full moon webinar. Maybe when you're going to sneeze, it's best not to make a drama out of it. Sorry. Well, we're dealing with the end now of the astrological year. Our sign of finality in that year, Pisces, a very important sign when it comes to one of what's called three cosmic decanates. Taurus, well, I'll put them in order. Scorpio, Pisces, and Taurus. And three of our great teachers, one from ancient Atlantean days, Hercules, he is identified with the Scorpio decanate. And the Christ is identified with the Pisces decanate, hence the alternative ruler of Pisces, which was intuited, says the Tibetan, by Alan Leo, and that is Neptune. It regards all of humanity, and it is in addition to the usual rulership of Jupiter, orthodoxly, Pluto, esoterically, and Pluto again, hierarchically. And then, of course, the Buddha, interestingly, is identified with the Taurus decanate and achieved, well, he took his kind of birth in Taurus, although we have to be careful what we say there, because it was Prince Siddhartha who was later overshadowed by the Buddha, just the way the initiate Jesus was overshadowed by the Christ. But in any case, the great enlightenment of the sixth degree touching the cosmic mental plane occurred in Taurus, the Taurus full moon, we're given to understand, and the death of the Buddha, or his return to his high estate, again, with the full moon in Taurus. So, but at this time, and given this solar system and its very strong second ray love emphasis, the increasing love emphasis, Pisces is important in that way. Sometimes we look at it as a sign which is having to do with the superficial wish life and the, in general, solar plexus reactions, but that's just a lower point of expression. In the 12 creative hierarchies that we are given, or that DK discusses, and probably that, you know, there have to be many, many more, but beyond a certain point, what's the use? Pisces stands at the head of all 12 hierarchies on the cosmic astral plane, and you can see that from your table of creative hierarchies. So it is a sign that often demonstrates in people's lives as great weakness and susceptibility and vulnerability and escapism and all of those avoidances of one's duty, and later just the opposite of that, you know. When with like the Dalai Lama, I think he has Saturn in Pisces, and it represents extreme adherence to one's duty. And we know as well that most people are going to end their career as master, that is in the human kingdom, as a world server in Aquarius, but a few take the method of Shambhala, and hence the Pluto association, and it's a much more demanding path, but it gives them admittance into Shambhala through their extreme sacrifice. They get to join who is called the great sacrifice, that is Sanat Kumara. When we look at the Jaffa painting, it's really, or illustration, it's really quite simple, this one anyway. The two fishes are swimming in opposite directions, and when you look at the constellation, you do see that bifurcation of the two fishes. So one is swimming downstream, and the other, maybe like the returning salmon, is swimming upstream and through great sacrifice reaches the original spawning ground, which we can consider in a way the equivalent of reaching the Shambhala source. This is a very shambolic sign. And when we come to the idea of the quest, the pilgrimage of the monad, at least an aspect of the monad, due to the divisibility of the spirit, we have the statement, I leave the Father's home, and turning back, I save. It is a mission of salvation. It's an avataric mission. Maybe there's not a whole lot to gain except, well, let's see, I guess one learns how to be a world savior. That, of course, is a great gain to the descending monad. But eventually, as in the labors of Hercules, the prodigal son returns, but he doesn't return alone. He is saving the red cattle of Geryon. Basically, he's lifting them up into the chalice. Well, the symbolism is all pretty clear, isn't it? The Taurus cattle, it's the sign of desire. And red is the color of desire. And he's taking the people who are the victim of their normal material desires, and he's putting them increasingly into the chalice of the causal body, and he's lifting them up towards the heights, towards the causal heights, and eventually beyond. So he becomes a true savior of humanity. There's not much of Pluto emphasized in this particular drawing, but Neptune and Jupiter are brothers, and we do see that Neptunian face. I think maybe, I'm not sure, but maybe is Pluto one of the brothers too, along with Jupiter and Neptune? I'll have to check that out. But basically, it's the beginning and the end. You know, it's an alpha and omega kind of sign, and the very first individual incarnation is said to take place in Pisces. Go forth into matter as the wheel turns clockwise. And later, you know, the wheel is reversed, the return is occurring, the great pilgrimage is taking place, and the whole story of the human being or the monad going through the kingdoms and into humanity and returning is embodied in this statement, I leave the Father's home, and turning back, I save. We have to, you know, Francis has written beautifully on these things, and he has given us the Pisces images. Let's see, this is the first one. I think we see, you've got to be able to see it, of course. The moon and Pluto and the chrysalis and the first ray brother. And what does he say about this? Let's see if I can find it. As he has throughout the long ages of his existence, and will many times in the eons that lie before him, our Piscean native prepares for death. He retreats deep within himself to a place that stands between the night of the form world and the dawn of that which will follow. And it's difficult, I think, to switch back and forth the way one might. But there it is, you see it. Between the night and the dawn, you see that. And I'll just leave the image up before you while I read a little bit of what Francis has said, and then you can go to the Maury Federation and see all of his presentations, which the value of which certainly has lasted these 10 years. Okay, so he's swayed and turned by both, by the night and the dawn, and as he struggles against fear, the moon's troubled waters fill him with doubt. Form ever clings to the past while the inner spark leaps forward towards its source. A very true statement. In the midst of this struggle, unseen and unheard, and then noticed behind and off to the right, a lord of will spirals from the inner realms into this outer place. His presence fills our seeker with peace. In this moment of profound calm, the gateway into life more abundant flashes across the disciple's inner vision, and he realizes that death, as he has learned to view it, is an illusion born of fear. He releases his grip on the past, and the form world loses its hold on him, and shifts his point of attention beyond the chrysalis, which now appears to him as a binding sheath, and follows his sutratma, the silver thread, which has anchored him in his body, and passes through the narrow passage. It's kind of like a birth into a state of light, wherein consciousness awakens, in the words of the Tibetan, free from the bonds of form. Okay, now it says my screen sharing is paused, so at least you've heard my words. And then there is also, evocative images, and there they are, and one of our colleagues has put them up in the chat box. All right. Now, the next stage here is called the Eye of the Soul. And let's see if I can find, there it is, okay. And it's a different stage altogether. And Francis writes about the two stages, particularly. And let me see if I can read just a little about the two stages. Okay. And let's see here. And I'll do that. He says, so he recaps on the chrysalis stage, and he says this, the one we've just looked at. In the first cycle of experience, I've got to find my way here. It tells me that I'm, my screen sharing is paused. I hope you can see the image. In the first cycle of experience upon the wheel, the soul itself is in captivity to substance. It has come down into the prison house of matter and linked itself to form, from Esoteric Astrology 116. A disciple finds himself between the night of the form world and the dawn of soul contact, as he has been saying, and Pluto would be seen at the midway point, between the moon and the first ray brother. And the disciples' focus has been shifted away into deep introspection. But in the eye of the soul, the next phase, he proceeds to detach himself from the personality and reattach itself, the soul does, in consciousness to the one who sent it forth. And this is the climaxing story of Pisces. And basically he says, it depicts the next stage of the Piscean process. The fish representing the vehicle of personality consciousness and its rider, the captive soul, note that, captive, have together navigated the waters of the lower quaternary for countless eons. Inexorably drawn by his monad, the little one urges his Piscean vehicle to lift itself beyond its own watery element, which it is doing. But in the rare atmosphere of soul contact, the fish is the personality aspect, and it occultly dies. And if you look closely, you will see the night sky filled with those fish who have gone before. And this represents the transformative agency of Pluto. Pluto never destroys the consciousness aspect, even though it is the planet of death. So here is that ascent, and the many fish are found here throughout. And gradually there is a movement towards the monad, which Pisces climaxes in Pisces. Okay, so, you know, that's just a little bit of what Francis has written, and you can check it out at the link that we have given you if you haven't done so up to this point. All right, I think we have some background information. The best thing, of course, to do is to, before these full moons come up, and there's one coming up in a little less than 12 hours at 8:17 and 10 seconds in the morning, GMT, is to reread the chapter. Reread the chapter, or if you have a compilation on Pisces, which will also take from other sections. You know, it is said that Pisces takes from all the signs. It's very absorptive, synthetic nature. Then reread that and become established in the thought forms that pertain to this sign of finality. And realize that as you build the causal body, you can use this sign, like all the others at the appropriate time, to bring in certain values, certain rays, certain type of light, all of which are connected with the sign Pisces. And, you know, to say that this is the time to build in sensitivity and compassion and understanding and a deep, eventually identificatory rapport with others, to say those things would be correct. Now, remember, at every opportunity given by every full moon, you build in qualities which strengthen the causal body, the egoic lotus, until it reaches its fullness. And, you know, interestingly, the fullness of the causal body might be told through the rulership of Jupiter in Pisces. It is the orthodox ruler, but it's a very sacred planet, more sacred than Pluto. And you can look at it that way, that fulfillment really does come in Pisces through Jupiter and through this process of breaking down all the separative boundaries and using Neptune as the special ruler to do that. And then, of course, the idea of destroying the causal body can be handled under the rulership of Pluto. That gives us a basis to begin with. Now, what I'm going to do is, just to say I'm happy to see you all here, and let's, now meditate deeply. Let's see here. The Pisces, here we are. So I'm going to resume sharing, and here is the meditation itself. Of course, I improvise and I change things and all that, but at least it's a basis. So now we're going to go into our meditation. And we're definitely now in this day of safeguarding, having passed through three preparatory phases. And as DK said now, at least with regard to his students, that he'd be on the watch for group approach for the 12 hours preceding the full moon, and we are in that 12 hours. So perhaps DK is watchful over us too, and takes advantage of the group approach to strengthen that approach and help the servers become more efficient. Then, of course, we'll enter distribution. We'll register what may have come through, and we'll possess that sense of expectancy and confirmed belief. So we're going to, we being the soul within the form, being the soul in incarnation, we withdraw step by step our consciousness from the personality so we can focus in a higher way, within the soul body itself, when that becomes possible. It is possible, at least imaginatively. So the old Raja Yoga method, I have a body, but I'm not that body. I have my various emotional feeling sentient states, but I am not them. I have the many thoughts and thought forms of my lower mind, but neither am I those. I am rather the soul. The soul am I, and even that is temporary. And I find myself focusing within an intensified field of light and love and spiritual, sacrificial will. And basically, our lower preoccupation with the customary familiar form melts away, fades away, and we have the sense of being in another state of consciousness. Which perhaps is not so customary to us, but it must become so. So we immerse ourselves within that soul only to discover that it is really contacting many such egoic lotuses or causal bodies, and the consciousness of it really is like one consciousness with many different apertures. We are a way of looking through the one soul, and yet it is the one soul. Each one of us is kind of a point of view within the increasingly felt one soul of the one being. And from this position, we reach out towards all the men and women of goodwill. We don't know them personally, just a handful, really. But there are so many. And we blend with them in person and in soul. Especially in soul. There's no soul out of reach in this group, and take it further to the world servers, the new group of world servers, and we blend in purpose and in soul and in consciousness and in the sense of being with them. And finally, even with every human being, none of whom can escape the fact of being a soul within the one soul, whether possessing a physical body or between incarnations and not possessing a physical body. It's a blending with all human beings. We don't let them, in our own mind, escape from being an aspect of the one soul. All are included. It matters not agreement or disagreement or friend or enemy. All are included. And that is one of the great gifts of Pisces, a final, ultimate, identificatory inclusiveness. Where the boundaries that flourish under the great heresy of separateness are dissolved by Neptune, and all are embraced in Jupiter, and illusion is killed under Pluto. And we draw upon that soul, you know, from our point of thought on the higher level of the lower mental plane. We gather all the soul energies together in a pool of retained energies. And through that pool of retained energies, the multicolored rainbow bridge passes, emphasizing in our group work the indigo, and at least symbolically reaching upward toward the monastic permanent atom and into the triadal areas where response, from which response can come. And even imaginatively toward that point of tension we call the monad. And as the light flashes forth across the Antikorana, we sound the Om and inwardly think the word of power, I see the greatest light. And eventually there will be a response from those higher centers, those higher points of tension, and the advancing point of tension, that is what we are, will be met by a still higher point of tension along the line we have created. Basically, we are entering the world where the the masters of the wisdom focus their consciousness. They can descend lower, but that is their normal focus. And we want to cooperate with them. And so we salute them, offer our salutations with the express purpose of trying to cooperate with them and to receive from their world, to receive their perspective from their world. Salutations to the Christ, the head of the spiritual hierarchy, the teacher alike of angels and of men. Salutations to the three masters with whom we most customarily work, Master M, KH, and DK. Salutations to the Master M, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Salutations to the Master Kutumi, the coming Bodhisattva of the Age of Capricorn, but also the Master who has most to do with preparing for the reappearance of his brother, Lord Maitreya. Salutations to the Master Jwalkul, who has taken so many under training into his ashram, preparing them for the first and second initiation, sometimes more rarely the third, has given us the blue books and is the sanctioned messenger of the hierarchy. Salutations to our own master, as we know him to be or conceive him to be. Salutations to the entire spiritual hierarchy of our planet. And we express our will to cooperate with them as best we can. We lift still further in our imagination. We think about Shambhala, that bright center lying far ahead, far ahead. The center where the will of God is known, the home, the focus of the great sacrifice, the Lord of the world, the Lord of Venusian love, the youth of eternal summers. And sound a long, internal and silent Om, seeking as much rapport with the will and purpose that comes forth from Shambhala as may be possible. We try to live that life, you know, under divine will and divine purpose, through love and intelligence as much as may be given to us to achieve. And we get better and better at it as we go, and our service more and more effective. And now it's as if we all come together at a point. It's a point of condensed, intensified light and love and power, spiritual, sacrificial will. And as given to us by the Master, that point hovers above the golden pathway, which leads to the heart of an indigo sphere, a symbol of the blue logos. And we, hovering above the path, find that the golden pathway shortens and shortens and shortens until it is absorbed with all of us as an inclusive point, into the Indigo Sphere. And here we at least imagine that we are in the presence of Master DK and have the opportunity, to some small extent, to become an outpost of his consciousness as we tune in on the available planetary and ray energies and the type of light now available, which must be recognized and used. And we will be, as it were, raising our consciousness toward the rulers of the constellation Pisces, Jupiter first, the great planet that was almost a star, the exoteric ruler conveying beneficence and selfless generosity. And then Pluto, the esoteric ruler, conveying the power to purge the personality of all hidden obstructions to soul infusion. And again, Pluto as hierarchical ruler, conveying the power to negate and even destroy the power of the personality as an inhibition to the expression of the soul, the destroyer of illusion. And finally, we will encounter Neptune, the deep, deep blue planet, a special ruler for Pisces in terms of humanity, conveying transcendent compassion and the power to identify with all aspects of the soul, including the anima mundi, the soul of the world. The soul of all things. These are energies which are now available. And we treat them as present, as presences, first. We can ponder on Jupiter in an exoteric position, but really a great sacred planet, giving us those usual Piscean virtues, faith, hope, charity, benevolence, selfless service, and we realize the beneficence of Jupiter, overflowing. All lesser states of consciousness and absorbing human consciousness into the ocean of reality. And into our group and groups, we conduct this energy of Jupiter, this royal blue, because, of course, our groups need this. And we visualize ourselves and our groups as imbued with these expansive, inclusive, embracing Jupiterian qualities. We watch the flow occur imaginatively. Oh. Imagine what groups could become if they really responded to the higher meanings of Jupiter. DK calls it, in one place, pervasive wisdom of Jupiter in relation to Pisces. And then it's Pluto, of which some amazing images have been recently taken and seen, just at a time when those who do not know were demoting it into a not quite a planet, something lesser. Pluto speaks back. So we meditate upon a little bit here. Pluto as the agent for scouring the aura, you know, for purification. The expurgation of all impedimenta that is hidden in the depths of the aura, at the bottom of the aura. And as that is expunged, along with it comes the death of desire for life within the worlds of illusion. We ponder. Pluto will cleanse. Pluto is the healer with the power of the serpent. Pluto is one of the great sources of the rising, purifying, empowering Kundalini. And it's not easy to handle, but we imagine it flowing into our groups, into our own individual energy system, and clearing the way for the enhancement, the empowering of the Christ principle. We watch that happen imaginatively. We all need it, and our groups need it. And we're not done with it, because the hierarchical influence really acts as an agent for the spiritual triad. And it's a symbolic planet as well. And an agent of the monad, with its intense fire. So we further receive the power to cut away and destroy all limiting ties that bind the soul to the perception of the illusion of time and space. Releasing the soul into timelessness and spacelessness once that destruction has occurred. And we certainly need this higher kind of ending of illusion. Not easy to achieve, and sometimes we don't even know what it all means, but we can count on it that it is transpersonal. Pluto acting in a very transpersonal, triadal, even monadic manner. And we imagine the reception accordingly. Oh. The death of our illusions. And that's a form, a high form of healing. And finally, let us not forget the deep blue planet Neptune, the special ruler, associated with the transcendental influence of Pisces upon humanity as a whole. It's a great washing, cleansing, blending, boundary destroying, separateness overcoming, influence . It ends this sense of otherness, which is fundamentally illusory. It brings us into sameness. So the egotistical barriers are removed. The boundaries between human beings are dissolved and rendered as naught. The oneness of humanity is realized. The one soul and the one spirit are experientially realized through the power of identification. Ponder well, ponder well. It's a very refined vibration, very high. And the mantra, thou shalt not escape into otherness, can be used through Neptune. It is that Christ knows what is in man, and no barriers can hold back that knowledge. The all-pervading one, Neptune. Let us welcome it into our group life, into our individual energy system. And these are the presences which are available to us now. We have to tune in, act as if they are real, they are real, and utilize them. In our understanding that fundamentally, as monads, we are that which finds its home within the sun, the great son of love wisdom, the consuming fire of love and wisdom, each one of us, no matter what energies we're using or what our rays may be or what our signs may be, we don't want to over-identify with any of those things. We have to remember that we are all somehow found within the heart of the sun. And even were we to take it higher, within the central spiritual sun. So within the bounds of our solar system, a certain sense of boundarylessness begins to occur under these influences, and which is the consummation of Pisces. So many energies synthesized by Pisces, which takes from all the signs. And if we're going to begin to get an idea of what synthesis really is, and you can't have it without the heart, then this is a good time for that. And the light of Pisces, how beautiful, the light of the world. Remember the Christ, Buddha, Hermes, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. This is the light revealing the light of life itself. It ends forever the darkness of matter. So just think of that kind of finality. And how a little bit in that direction can be achieved by us now. A little bit at every full moon. Until the vehicle is built, till the will to fulfillment is accomplished, until the great radiation, the supernova of individual destruction is accomplished, and then on to greater and greater lights. And in the time that remains, and I suppose that you have thought about it up till now, and some of you have the chance still to think and others to dream about it, I leave the Father's home, and turning back, I save. So let's look for the deep meaning of that. For a few minutes of pondering, and we will continue. And of course, during the time of the full moon itself, we will utilize that great mantra. I leave the Father's home and turning back, I say, but which one of us is not the prodigal? Now, aware that we must return to Shambhala as a monad and bring with us the results of our efforts at salvation. I leave the Father's home and turning back, I say, We have a deep spiritual responsibility. The pilgrimage is a long one. It has involved the taking of triadal permanent atoms and the building of the triad and the building of the soul and eventually, and descent into the lower kingdoms, eventually to reach the human stage and then to begin the lengthy path of return. But if you have taken the first initiation, and so many of the Tibetans' books are written for those who have taken that first initiation, the birth of the Christ in the heart, you are more than 99% completed on your path of return, which has lasted millions and millions of years. And hopefully in our journey through the underworlds, we can help people stand in the middle of their own chalice and the many chalices are one chalice in which those subject to desire, the red cattle of Geryon, can be lifted up into the heavens. That's what's called saving. I leave the Father's home and turning back, I save. So, from that great being we call the one about whom naught may be said, one of 49 supercosmic logoi, the zodiac is found as the central head center, the heart within the head. And Pisces, with its great second ray, sixth ray energy, radiates forth through Orion, through the constellations Gemini and Virgo and Pisces, all involved, and into our local cosmic logos, where our sun, our solar logos, is a great heart center. That's what we are in the larger context. And out to the planets that can represent this synthetic, very Buddhic, very monadic, very cosmic astral plane related Piscean energy. And thus through Jupiter and Pluto and Neptune, the wave goes and comes to our Earth in Shambhala, where we live as monads, and into hierarchy, where we live as souls, and into the personality, particularly stimulating the heart and the head, and that one of the seven head centers which represents love, wisdom, and into the heart and solar plexus and back to the heart. We can find ourselves, even though these energies are tremendous, we can find ourselves imbued with just a little bit of the available energies now. Very subtle, but real. And let's look for them. They are here. They're always here, but more intensified now, at this time. Let's really focus on their presence and look across the world where there is so much difficulty and so much saviorship is needed. And take a moment to direct that Piscean energy and all its accompanying energies in their positive nature toward the amelioration of at least one trouble spot or trouble condition in the world. And sound the Om as we see imaginatively this happening. Now we will close with the sounding of the great invocation. The encapsulation of the divine plan in very simple but utterly profound statements. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. from the center where the will of God is known. Let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you, friend, for being here. Tomorrow morning is the full moon, at least morning here in Europe, and we begin our YouTube broadcast at 6:40 a.m. GMT. And the full moon is at 8:17 and 10 seconds. So, we hope to see at least some of you there, and you know, if you don't have other commitments, meditative commitments, then as many of you as may be possible, we hope will join us. So thank you. Great to work with you, and we will just proceed with lots of love from us on the communications team, you know, Tuya and myself and Michael Crow and Michael Stacy and BL and Joe and all of us, trying to keep the ageless wisdom flowing in your direction and in the direction of as many as may be in the position to absorb it. So indeed, yes, lots of Pisces blessings. It's a good sign for blessings, you know. Okay, and this will be available shortly. One of our team, probably BL, will put it up on Makara, and you'll be able to find it. Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye-bye for now.